Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, everyone? This is Nothing Urgent with Derek Evers and normally Christopher Robbins, who is, right now he's, quote-unquote camping, but I think he's settling some urges, some homoerotic urges he has that he hasn't explored yet with his friends. But we're here at Roberta's this week, and we're pleased that you're joining us. It will be a abbreviated version of our normal show. Normally we interview someone from the news world and someone from the music world, but this time we're going to be interviewing someone from both, basically. We're joined by Dale Eisinger.
Hello.
He is a journalist, a man of many talents. He wears many hats.
It's nice of you to say.
I like to use, when I'm talking to people of that type of stature, I like to say utility infielder.
Sure, yeah, I'm a shortstop.
Yeah. Dale has, I have to say, there's a conflict of interest. Dale has written a few things for Impose.
Continue to.
And he also helps out with God Mode. I shouldn't say helps out. He works directly with God Mode. Is it God Mode Internet, or is it just God Mode, the label, and then that's their, like...
Well, God Mode Internet is just Nick's Twitter handle. I think God Mode Records is the name of the
right
thing. And I only just started working there about a week and a half ago, so...
So he's still yet to find out the intricacies of God Mode Internet versus God Mode Records. But we have him joining us today. It's I guess you would say it's sad news, but on the upside, you know, there is a positive light, I guess, at the end of this story. But Dale wrote a very good piece on the Village Voice, but it was regarding the shooting last week at Big Snow Buffalo Lodge, which I think we were talking about this earlier, and it took a lot of us in the music industry by surprise, obviously for the fact that there was a shooting at a venue at a place that we all regularly attend, but because a lot of people were out of town this weekend, and when we heard the news, it took us all by surprise when we came back to find out, and you were kind of the first one to break the news. I know there was some misreporting in a few other places, but you're basically, you had a firsthand account of the whole situation. That's right.
Yeah, I was there. This happened last Wednesday, and I think, there was a shooting there last Wednesday, and I wasn't planning on writing anything about it. You know, I was just there to see some God Mode bands, essentially, you know, check out my new crew. And, I wasn't planning on writing anything about it until Saturday when Big Snow announced that they were closing. And everyone was at Pitchfork, Impose, you guys were all at Comic-Con. And I think because of some flooding issues and some other structural issues that had been going on in the Big Snow building, people were confused about the closing until my piece came out on Monday.
Yeah, that was exactly what I had assumed, because I did notice that they had mentioned, like, they are, you know, flooding, and I feel like they had, like, a few mishaps that had happened throughout the week leading up to that, just because I remember seeing, incidentally, I think it was Yoni who was the one that was tweeting, but was just mentioning, like, the structural issues that they were having at the time. So to find out that it was something quite as serious, if you don't mind, obviously, if people haven't seen the piece already, you should go to it. It's at the Village Voice. It has been across the top rail. If it's not still, I'm sure it doesn't take much to Google Village Voice and Big Snow Buffalo Lodge. But if you wouldn't mind, could you walk us through basically what you had witnessed that night? Because I don't want to, like, throw out, you know, random facts of that. Because basically everything I know about it came from your piece. So if you wouldn't mind, just kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to hammer it too hard just because, you know... I'm sure all those guys are listening, and they've had a tough enough time of it as it is to hear me talk about it again. But we were there for the show, and everything was just a normal night. I remember walking into Buffalo Big Snow, and Yanni was at the door as he always was, and he was like, "Dale, oh, I had a friend named Dylan in high school or college who who a teacher called Dale by accident once, and that was, you know, 7-8 years ago, and he still goes by Dale. You know, Yanni, friendly as ever. We're all just hanging out. And Fasano played, and then we were all just standing at the intersection of, you know, the back room and the stage and the stairway there, or at least I was, and just out of nowhere, people were like, people were, just started yelling, just random yelling, and Yanni comes running through the room, and he was obviously out of place, and I heard one person say, you know, he was shot. I immediately grabbed my phone and dialed 911 and asked for an ambulance. More people started to see the blood and kept calling 911. And as you know, time progressed, people calmed down a little bit, and we understood what had happened, which was Yanni was shot in the entrance to Big Snow. So yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, as you even say it, it's kind of like, it gives me a little bit of like chills slash like a shock, because I know, even just, you know, this is far from being shot, but like, you know, you do something like seriously cut yourself or something like that, and just like that cold sweat that kind of comes over you. So I can't even imagine what it was like to be shot. I mean I have no idea what that would be like, but furthermore, like, just the kind of like panic that it probably created throughout the room, that, you know, to realize that, you know, someone that a lot of people in the room knew had been shot, but even just to be that close to it, was it kind of like a shock to, I mean, just obviously to you and to Yoni, but like, was the, you know, I know in the piece you had mentioned that, you know, there was kind of a congregation of people that started handing out water and like trying to like calm the situation down, but at first I can only imagine there was like mass hysteria.
Yeah, that you know, the calming situation happened much after the fact. The initial situation, you know, you don't go into these situations that we all go into so often at these DIY venues thinking that we're actually going to be in some sort of serious confrontation with the outside world. We like to think about these things as sort of insular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when this happened, I don't think it registered with a lot of the people who were there, and I don't know if it was as much of shock as it just was not registering with people. And I only say that because a lot of us have never encountered something like that before.
Yeah.
Then once we realized what was happening, yeah, definitely shock. Definitely shock.
Yeah, I mean, and like what you said, it's not, you know, I say we because I have never experienced anything like that before. But I can only imagine it's that much more, you know, the implications rise that much higher when it's someone that you know, or in this case, it was, you know, someone who worked very closely with Big Snow. Before you came on the air, we had talked a little bit about it. I mentioned that I didn't really want to make, I wanted to talk to more about the details of what had happened, because I didn't want to make this like an in memoriam type of thing to Big Snow, because I don't know how they would want it to be perceived, and I don't want to like be the one going on record as, you know, like, this is what, you know, what we should be thinking type of vibe. But you came in with some good news that Yoni has been released.
Yeah, Yoni called me actually on my way here. Today is his birthday, and the last time I saw him was at Bellevue on Sunday. And as far as the doctors had said, he was going to spend at least his birthday here. He called me on my way here, and he said that he was briefly moved to Roosevelt Hospital, where a irate doctor was mad at the way his left arm had been bound, basically ripped off his cast, and then sent him home to spend his birthday in Long Island with his family.
That's good news, and we wish Yoni a very happy birthday, as much of a happy birthday as you can have in this scenario.
Happy birthday, Yoni.
Yes. And this will be the last thing I ask about him specifically, because again, I don't like talking about people when they're not here, but I read that in your piece that the doctor mentioned that if it went like another, you know, however further into his abdomen, that he likely would have bled to death, but then also that he had shattered his arm. So am I right in assuming that basically the bullet hit his arm and then went into his stomach? Is that essentially what happened?
Yes. What he told me was the bullet went through the top of his forearm, went into the top of his forearm and out the bottom side of it, and his left arm, and then into his abdomen. So,
so in essence, I mean, his arm probably.
His arm saved his life.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I mean, that's insane. That's like I said. I mean, like, it's like I get like kind of the cold sweats when you talk about it, because I start thinking about if it would me, and I, I don't even think I'd have the presence of mind. I mean, yes, probably run back in, but I don't even know if like I could. I mean, I don't know what my reaction would be.
Well, I think that was one of the rather courageous things that Yanni said to me later, was that he was glad he was the one who was shot, because if it had been anyone else, he wouldn't have been able to live with himself, which is incredibly courageous and selfless, I believe. And it's just, to even have that thought lying in a hospital bed is pretty incredible.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, the fact that it was one of the owners, I mean, I guess this is, you know, we're not going to, again, I'm not going to play the assumption game, but, you know, this is obviously what led to them deciding to close Big Snow. And again, I don't, you know, I don't want you to have to speak on their behalf, but do you see Yoni or even any of the other guys that were founders of the place, like, are they going to not necessarily run another venue, but do you see them kind of picking up and moving in another direction with this sort of, you know, whether music or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to each of the members of Big Snow, and their focus immediately turned to Yanni's well-being, obviously, after this happened. But each of them sort of emphasized that, number one is Yanni's recovery. And as he told me today, that's going to take about a year before he's able to play drums again. Baked, his band, is supposed to have a tape release on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's going to go forward.
I did see it. It's at Shea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the post about it, and I was curious about that. So are they, I mean, that's. I think that's kind of awesome that they're going to do it, only because I assume that it's kind of going to be in some way a nod of the hat to Yanni.
Well, as far as
tip
Dan,
of the hat, I should say. Nod of the head.
Nod
tip
of the head. Tip of the hat, yeah. As far as Dan from Big Snow told me, in the emergency room, Yanni was in bed and said, "You guys have to go forward with this." They'd worked so hard to record it. They'd worked so hard to cut the tapes. And I guess Dan is going to play the drums.
Okay.
For the show on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
All the rest of them, Yanni told me today he hopefully is going to be playing drums again within a year. And all the rest of them sort of emphasized that, yeah, we were musicians first, and this happened to be a place where we could, you know, give an outlet to other people who needed it.
Right. And I guess this is a very not important question, but, and this is probably more again for them, but like, does that mean, I have to assume that if you have a lease in a place, I mean, you expect some of your revenue to be coming from being able to throw shows. Is this going to be like, do you know if it's going to be like more of a financial burden than just, you know, hospital bills and stuff like that?
That actually, the hospital bills never came up. I think.
Well, I just mean like the fact that like they have a lease at a space. Has that been something that ever came up? Like the, like, you know, moving forward in that space, are they just going to continue to live there, or are they going to try to?
As far as I know, they. The lease was up in October, I believe.
Oh, okay.
They opened up in October 27th, 2011. And I think for all intents and purposes, they effectively lived there. You
right.
know, they had a dog.
Well, no, I just mean like you know, not having a way to run it as a show space anymore.
I'm not sure. I think one of the general sentiments was they were thinking about their next move.
Right, right.
This just happened to be a really shitty way to... Can I say shitty?
Yeah, you can say whatever.
It was an incredibly shitty way to seal the chapter of their lives.
Right. And is Yoni expected to have a full recovery? Is that...
He's got a lot of nerve damage
okay.
in his left arm. Whether or not he's going to be able to feel his hand again is still up in the air, or his full hand again. When I saw him in the hospital on Sunday, the doctor, not a surgeon, I don't think, but... an attending came and sort of made him flex his fingers, and it was obviously very, very painful for him. If I remember him saying, more painful in the wrist than in the fingers, which is not good news for a drummer. But you know, 4 or 5 days after a shooting, I don't suppose.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd expect at that stage, but we are clearly thankful that he is out of the hospital, that he is alive and. For all intents and purposes, well, I know that's a stretch to say that, but you know, clearly the fact that he's still alive and still able to be with his family on his birthday is pretty important. Did you get a chance to find out in your when you were writing the article about what I mean. I know they didn't find any, you know, like they have yet to find any person involved with it. But have do you any kind of background on the investigation or anything of that level? Like what's going on with the police investigation?
Well, I wrote that article very quickly. I as I said, I wasn't planning on writing anything. The shooting happened on Wednesday. Big Snow announced they were closing on Saturday. As soon as I saw that, I knew something had to be written.
Right.
So I contacted the NYPD, DCPI, DCPI on Sunday, and they said, you know, we can't get those sort of information to you by tomorrow morning.
Right.
So I'm not sure if it's been followed up. As far as what the police told Yanni's father, who I met in the hospital, they said it was one of two incidences on that block and the next block south of that evening, and there had been quite a few other shootings to the east since then. To me, a lot of people have been saying there seems to be some subtext about the fact that it may or may not have actually been directed at Big Snow, and I don't think there's any evidence
right.
in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, I know when I quoted your piece on Impos, I had put that part in parentheses, only because, unrelated, I should say, only because that there was no, you know, really no context to know one way or the other, but I would agree with you, and that's just my speculation, you know, not, it doesn't seem like it would be, I can't, I mean... Then again, maybe there was people that were angry. I don't want to say that, but you know that there was a club on the block.
I don't think that's for us to say, and yeah. I don't think it's a fair assumption to make that Big Snow, who only had the best of intentions,
right.
always
yeah.
would be a target of such.
Oh no! I didn't mean a attack for anything specific. I just meant whether it was, you know, someone in the neighborhood who was like,
perhaps they saw Yanni as a witness.
Yeah. Well, I do want to try. That's why I was asking you, is if you're going to make a full recovery. I try to want to take this to a positive place. That's why I was. So you haven't spoken to them at all about future endeavors yet or anything of that nature?
I don't think it's really on their mind at
yeah.
this point. Those guys are all so super close-knit that this really, really affected them in a really devastating way.
Oh, I can imagine.
They've known each other for a very long time.
Yeah,
so.
And so they were all, were they all friends, like, pre obviously before Big Snow, but how long has their relationship gone back?
Yanni and I, it's in my piece. I can't remember who they've known each other since high school. Oh no, they grew up on Long Island, but they all met in college, the four of them. So you know, at least 5-6 years.
Yeah. Well then. We're going to take a quick break. We were going to try to get Yanni on the phone. He understandably does not want to talk about it right now, which is not an issue. But what I did during this point, we were going to play a Fasano track because Dale is working with God Mode. They were playing that evening, and they're a very good band. Although I do like once in a while to joke about the fact that he has the same last name as a NFL tight end. So
who?
Fasano.
Oh, Fasano. Yeah.
Yeah, Tony Fasano. He's not Tony
he's
Fasano.
He's Matty Fasano.
But the tight end, and like I always every once in a while I'll send God Mode Internet some tweets about that. Especially because it's, you know, BuzzFeed just did, Maria Sherman just did a thing about bands that are hard to Google. She might have to add Fasano in there. But we're gonna play a track. This one's called Muzzle You. It's from a single that came out prior to their most recent full length.
Right.
But yeah, we're gonna play this. And then we'll be right back with Dale Eisinger.
Thank you. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef. Pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
So we have to be clear, the Fasano track ended about 30 seconds ago. That little grass-fed beef part was actually a commercial. And I only need to make that because it was a good transition.
It was.
It worked pretty well.
And to be clear again, I work for the label that song is on.
Yes, which is God Mode. Well, no, I just, it's kind of funny because that grass-fed beef, it got me hungry and, tapping my toe at the same time.
And here we are, Roberto's tapping our toe.
This is the glass bowl, the fish bowl in here. And usually this table right here, our listeners can't see it, but there's a table right in front of the window we do this, and it's usually the date table, but today it's not the date table, so. It could be, but it doesn't look like it's the date table. So, during the break, we were discussing, we've gone through a lot of the events that happened last Wednesday at Big Snow Buffalo Lodge. There was a shooting, and one of the co-founders was shot. He is well. Today is his birthday. He is out of the hospital, Yoni David.
24.
And we send our best wishes to him. But one of the things we want to talk about before Dale leaves us in a few is talk about a little about the history of Big Snow and basically how long they've been around and what kind of impact you, because I know you were mentioning that you touched on a lot of those topics on your piece and it wasn't something that a lot of people focused on. So you just wanted to explain a little bit about that. Can you give me a little bit of the historical background?
Sure. Yeah. Big Snow, these dudes, they just were trying to do what they loved. They all worked at Shea. One of them worked at 285. They were all frequent patrons of Silent Barn, and I think they were all really influenced by all those things. I remember Yanni telling me about a blue ashtray that he acquired from the original Silent Barn and seeing that in the basement there and realizing that he could smoke inside at Silent Barn, and that was the signal moment for him that there was a certain sense of DIY, not just do it yourself, but do whatever you want yourself.
Yeah.
He could smoke inside.
Yeah.
And Big Snow acquired that ashtray, and they acquired that sort of spirit. And these dudes weren't pretentious. They weren't trying to go out to, be countercultural. They were just doing what they knew and they loved, and they were doing it as best they knew how. They opened on October 27th, 2011. Their first show was the So-So Glows, Pigeons, Day Dress, Dustin Wong, and Lost Boy.
And which is a pretty awesome show. All in all, I mean, top to bottom, that's a really good show.
Incredible lineup, really diverse, really, really eclectic, and I think that was part of the reason they booked it that way. They wanted to show that this wasn't a venue that was going to be about one specific line of thought. It was about many kinds of inquiry. And
which is, I think, something that spoke to both them as people and the venue, and also kind of there was, I remember when I would see shows at Big Snow or see the shows that they were putting on, and I think the thought was, and this is nothing against the other venues that are still going strong that we're friends with, but like you said, they've all kind of almost streamlined into what they do well, and this is almost like it harkened back to the early days of Silent Barn, really, or something like that, where it was they'd have art shows at the same time they had punk rock shows, or upstairs would be a something more ethereal or, whatever you want to call it. And downstairs would be the punk bands or what, and I think, and that's why there was almost a romanticism to this concept of a little bit more freer type of space.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I ever went to Big Snow once where not only did I not feel comfortable, I just felt like I was a part of it.
Right.
And in introvert like me, believe it or not, yeah, I am. That made a big difference to me, and I always liked going there, and, I can't even count the bands I saw there, and it was always different, and it was always fun, and it's a real, real shame that this had to happen this way.
Yeah, and I want to also really quick, I know we had kind of talked about it, we were trying to think of the other people's names, because we keep mentioning Yoni, obviously, but Jeremy Aquilino, R.J. Gordon and Daniel Arnaz or Arnes?
Arnaz.
Arnaz are the other three were the other three co-founders, I guess you'd say.
Owners.
Owners, yeah. And so I guess, do you have, and this is one of the things I was going to ask, the obligatory question you'd ask Yoni if he was joining us, but did you have a favorite show that you had witnessed at Big Snow?
What was it? I guess it was, what was it called? Hurricane Fest 2012. I think it was in memoriam of the first hurricane that happened in 2011.
Irene, was that Irene?
Yeah, Irene. Yeah. It was like Guardian Alien and Beef with G. Lucas Crane.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, Gream, her band,
right?
And like that band melded with G. Lucas Crane. It was just like really, really incredible, really, really great show. I've seen Ava Luna there like I don't even know how many times, and that's like my favorite venue to see that band. So I'd say those two things.
I think that's a great way of like explaining kind of what we were talking about earlier about the different types of bands that can play there, and to mention like Guardian Alien in one sentence and then Ava Luna in the next sentence is a pretty a pretty apropos way of summing up that, summarizing that concept in general. Yeah, I guess, you know, we're sitting here talking about other people who are not here with us, so it's like I don't want to go on too long about it, but, you know, our thoughts and prayers are obviously with Yoni and hope that he has a full recovery. I know I already asked you this, but is there any kind of, do you want to give us any other insight on the future?
I don't know too much about the future, as none of us do, but you know, Yoni just wanted me to say that he loves everyone who's supported them to no end, and to quote, at least, you know, at least we can come together through this, essentially.
And so, I mean, you mentioned how he didn't want, you know, he was quote-unquote happy or, like, glad that it was him versus someone else. Man, it's just incredible that he continues to say these sort of things and still have a positive outlook about it. And, you know, like I said, Yoni, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And, Dale, I want to thank you for taking the time.
My pleasure.
Again, this was a very abbreviated version of Nothing Urgent. We'll be back next week. I should plug really quick that Roberta's will be having their block party this weekend. That's where we air from. And I do know that Action Bronson, Picture Plane, and Big Ups are playing. Oh, and Jamaican Queens, another good one from Detroit. So, yeah, if you're around on Saturday, next week we'll be back with our full show, and hopefully Chris will be back. We can discuss Comic-Con and Chris's camping in West Virginia, or Virginia, one of the Virginias.
One of them.
Yeah.
How many are there? Six or eight?
I don't know. They're all racist, though, and I tell them every time. But yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening. Dale, thank you again for being here.
My pleasure.
Yoni and the rest of the guys from Big Snow, if you're listening, thank you so much for everything that you have done for the community, and here's hoping this isn't the end of it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.